Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 22nd of June, recording at 5:40 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today. Asian stock markets were mostly weaker today, but the majority of them, that was following Wall Street's close last night, of course, but the majority of them managed to rally as the day progressed, and to either greatly reduce those losses in most instances and move to small gains, as in the case of Japan and also the Australian stock market. European markets are mixed in here today, very small declines or gains. Wall Street at the moment has a modest rally underway, currently near the high of the day, with the Dow up 32 and 3.5 on the S&P, and the NASDAQ also firmer. Now, the reason for this, and we really could dub this the oil market, because I've been mentioning every single day that oil was the big influence here. And I'll come back to this in a moment, but oil is currently down $1.80, bringing it back to 131.40. So that's the main factor in here. Government bonds are clipped quite hard in here today. U.S. Treasury is down 1.5 as I speak on the futures contracts. Precious metals have been mostly easier in here today, and that's the case as I speak. The dollar has rebounded. Well, it's rallied a little bit here. It's been quite weak, as you know, in the two previous days, and so it's a bit steadier in here. Currently up 262 ticks on the dollar index. That takes it to 72.20, and the euro is down 84 ticks at 157.11, just to put you in the picture. One of the stronger currency moves in here today is the New Zealand dollar. Okay, what can we make of all this? First off, well, I said you really could describe, we really could describe this as the oil market in terms of influence. And to repeat a point I've made in, I think, the last couple of audios, is that until oil hitting new highs, or until oil stops hitting new highs, I should say, and also moves off the front pages of the newspapers, until that happens, stock markets face really quite a stiff headwind. And that will be in direct proportion to the extent of any additional gains that we might possibly see in the short term. Now, yesterday I described oil's move as acceleration, and it's not necessarily climactic acceleration, although oil is such a big contract traded all over the world that it is rare for it to get the type of moves that we see in much more thinly traded markets, the grains, for instance. So, yes, oil looks somewhat overextended, but and we're getting some respite in here today, as I mentioned. But is this just going into a brief pause, another consolidation? Will it be forming another step within that uptrend sequence? These are the questions that one cannot answer at this stage. But I'll go back to what I said in that write-up on oil yesterday, where I discussed the chart in quite some detail, that it will take some pretty clear technical action to seriously question the overall momentum of this trend. And the level to watch on the downside, it's a long way away at the moment, is the next important support area is down at that 120 level. So I don't want to try to guess too much on oil. The bullish forecasts, increasing number of bullish forecasts that we've seen, with people assuming that yes, it's only a matter of days or weeks before it gets to 150 or whatever. Those are all contrary indicators. Suggest that doesn't mean it can't happen, but it does mean that it's the move is getting overextended in a latter stage of development. Now, my view on a long-term basis is no different from what it's been for years, and that is that oil is in a secular bull market. I believe in peak oil in terms of the easily accessible light sweet crude, and demand is rising remorselessly for oil, and I do think that over the next decade or two that we will see the oil price work higher and higher in an erratic fashion, as is the nature of markets, to tease out more oil, which is an increasingly costly process, and also to create a situation that spurs a redoubled effort to come up with alternatives to crude oil. All this takes time, of course. So again, this long-term trend is certainly upwards, but in the short term, oil is getting overextended, and it would not be surprising to see some sort of medium-term peak in the over the short term, which by my definition would mean sometime within the next few weeks, anytime within the next few weeks. Now, bring that back to stock markets, that once we do see oil just go quiet, let alone get a somewhat bigger reaction. Until that happens, it is a headwind for stock markets, as I've been mentioned on so many occasions. It is the important headwind here right now. It matters much more than anything else that is being reported. But you've seen the technical action since the March reaction lows, which were effectively a successful test of the January reaction lows for most stock markets. So once there's a little bit of respite there, I do feel that we will see the overall rallies continue. And I think we know what the leaders are, and the resources sector, I think, will be very much to the fore. That's Brazil, that's Canada, although the Canadian market showed a key day reversal in here today. I'm sure Owen will be covering that in his written commentary. And the Brazil market is certainly ripe for a consolidation, but if we stand back and look at the weekly charts, the really impressive fact, and fortunately not unexpected at Fuller Money, is that the resources would be among the leaders on the way back up, and not least because of their pricing power. So they will suffer some selling pressure if everything else is going down, because people will start to take profits in Brazil or Canada or in Australia, mining issues, just because they can, if they're wanting to raise cash and something else has weakened a bit further. But my premise is that thereafter, once the immediate fright subsides, then they will pick up again overall and remain leaders on the upside more often than not. So I remain a major long-term bull on the resources of the resources sector, although some of these trends temporarily look a bit overextended following the recent strong gains, and a consolidations would be positive developments. Now, going from one extreme to the other, what about the banks? And it's disconcerting to see it's a number of those bank indices in the USA and Europe moving down to the lower side of their ranges, testing some of those some testing some of those previous floors. Now, disconcerting in the sense that they are an important indicator in terms of the health of the economies generally. I remain of the school that what's good for the banks is generally good for the rest of the market, and vice versa. Now, I've always been of the school since this crisis became apparent that there would be a long convalescence, and not least because of all the uncertainty, the dilution in terms of shareholders' positions, the crucial fact that even as bad debts are written off, and I think they will be overwritten off over time. I've said that before as well. So some of this will get written back in as paper that is that may be marked as worthless is proved not to be worthless, although it's certainly not worth what it was purchased at or what the banks were hoping to receive for it when they got stuck with it on their books. But the point I want to make again is that the business model has gone up in flames, that highly speculative business model that produced those profits for a number of years. That's gone. It's not going to come back anytime soon. And the question remains, how will the banks actually make money? Well, the old-fashioned way, but that's going to be less glamorous, and it's not going to produce the dramatic profits that the banks actually showed for a while. So, thus a very, very long convalescence, and therefore I find the sector easy to resist. But some people are interested in it, and I understand why. It will eventually recover, but I think baby steps is the classic approach to use for anyone who is investing in those shares, either because you have a somewhat more positive fundamental view on them than I do, or because of the yields, and you would like to harvest some of those. But I think the baby steps approach, where one would only nibble on weakness and then one would lighten positions on rallies, albeit while perhaps holding a core position, is the strategy I would advocate with those financials. Now, what about the long-dated government bonds? With the inflation story certainly established, I have no hesitation in saying that we're unlikely to see this year's and last year's lows for yields retested. And we will see yields pushing up over time. It'll be in an erratic fashion, as is so often the case. But I would not have any investment positions in long-dated government bonds. I regard long-dated government bonds as shorts following rallies in bond prices, and once those rallies start to lose momentum, particularly if that's near previous resistance levels, then those are shorts. I've done that from time to time over the last few years with some success. I, to my chagrin and regret, I don't have any short positions in here right now, although I did not all that long ago. But the more important point for you is when you look at those long-term charts, and I think for perspective, one really does need to look at the, say, 20-year charts or longer for the government bond yields and also the government bond prices, and just to see that really big picture. And that is going to be one of erratically rising yields in long-dated government bonds. Now that poses an additional headwind for stock markets. It's not a headwind today because yields are still low, foolishly low in my view. That's partly because people have been worried about global economic slowdown, fair enough. It's also partly because of some support from central banks through the recapitalizing of bank balance sheets using the yield curve. These are all factors at play here, but the big driving force overall is that we're not getting deflation. Central banks have opted for the money printing solution, and I say solution in inverted commas. And therefore, we're going to see, as I say, these yields rise on an erratic basis over the very long term because we are in this inflationary cycle. And that's going to persist really for quite some time. As I've said before, even if resources prices subside for a while, I don't think we'll see that reflected by prices in the shops or prices at the petrol stations all that often, largely because the general overall costs are continuing to rise. In the case of foods, I think in that competitive retailing industry, some well, undoubtedly, stores had tried to keep prices down as long as possible, but you reach a breaking point, and that's what we're seeing. And food prices have risen quite sharply, and I think they will continue to rise overall. The statistical anomaly is that we can get the appearance of that inflation fading. For instance, if all commodities go up dramatically this year, and then as they already have, it started last year. But if on a 12-month basis, what I'm saying is that if prices for all commodities were to move up quite dramatically and then go so that would be a high rep that would contribute to a high inflation figure. But then if those same prices moved sideways for a year, given the way the year-on-year data is calculated, that would show zero inflation from those same commodities, although they would be staying at very high levels. I don't think we're going to see the cheap food return, except in local regions where you will get temporary surpluses. But on a global basis, I do not expect to see the cheap food return. So that my view overall is that the commodities will remain a lucrative investment area, but often a volatile investment area. What about these precious metals? They have certainly, in my view, established their reaction lows. To me, the debate is whether they go back up quickly, and that will depend in part on what the dollar does and in part on what oil prices actually do. Weaker dollar, firm oil prices, and it's not too hard to envisage a flood of money going into the bullion funds, both investment money and speculative money, and pushing the precious metals up very, very rapidly. On the other hand, if we were to see oil subside, let alone move below the $120 level, if we were to see the dollar's lows hold for a while longer, then we might well see the precious metals come back towards the lows that the reaction lows that we saw a month or two ago. But I don't think those lows will be broken, and my worst case scenario would be that they would range sideways for a while in additional support building during the period of less seasonal interest, as I mentioned before, before moving higher probably in Q4, if not before. So I don't think one should be terribly aggressive in precious metals unless You really are very confident that the dollar is going to tumble dramatically and that the oil price is going to shoot up to the levels mentioned by Goldman Sachs at 150 and 150 and higher, in which cases, say, gold will take off again. But I think precious metals are certainly buys on setbacks, and I think one can easily justify having some representation here, given the limited downside risk, or what I believe is the limited downside risk, and the bullish outlook. The biggest uncertainty is whether the bullish outlook is short term or medium term, in addition to long term. But I do expect certainly gold and silver to move a lot higher over the medium to longer term, if not sooner. Industrial metals are more of a mixed bag, really, and a disappointment for me in here. I see this nickel breakdown once again. Thank heavens I didn't increase a long position there, and I'm never happy to have a loss here. Owen will be writing that up on the charts, but obviously nickel would need to turn around, still down a long way off its highs, but it would need to turn around and push back up into that previous trading range, signal a downside failure to revive recovery hopes. I may ride this out a little bit more, or for a little longer rather, but I'm not tempted to increase the position. Might well be inclined to increase the position if I did see a downside failure, and but that hasn't happened yet. What it's really done is reaffirm its medium-term correction phase. But that's not the case for all the metals. Zinc is weak, but aluminium is really quite strong. Lead's a bit weak, but tin is really, really quite strong as well. But the precious metals are infinitely more interesting here at the moment, in my view. And I think that's pretty much it. I am off on holiday now, and so I will just say all the best to all of you, and if you're in the markets, I wish you every success, and I look forward to being back in the first week of June and carrying on with the analysis. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.